Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kamma Daf Lamed Hey. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a specially marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarking@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find toward the bottom of Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, 5 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah: Shor Shehoya Roidef Achar Shor Achir V'Huzak. An animal was pursuing another animal, and the animal being pursued experienced damage. Ze omer shor chahizik, vze omer loki elo besela loka. The nizak, the victim, says, "Your animal that was pursuing my animal is that which caused the damage." The owner of the pursuing animal says, "No, my animal did not cause your animal damage. Rather, it tripped on a rock. Besela. Besela is a rock. Loka, it was injured." So we have a controversy between the victim and the aggressor. Hamotzi mechavero olav haraya. The motzi, the one who was trying to extract payment, the one who was trying to take away from someone that which he is currently holding on to. In other words, the victim is trying to motzi, to take away from the aggressor payment. Olav haraya, upon him is the burden of proof. So that the owner of the injured animal would have to bring solid proof that the aggressor animal caused the damage before he can receive any payment. Hoyu shnayim roidfim acharecha. There are 3 animals in this scenario. 2 were pursuing 1 animal. These 3 animals were owned by 3 different people. Ze omer shor chahizik, veze omer shor chahizik. Each one is claiming that it's the other one's animal that caused the damage. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Shnehem pturin. They are both exempt, because each one is shirking the responsibility and projecting it on the other. Im hoyu shnehem shel ish echad, shnehem chayovim. If the 2 pursuing animals were owned by 1 person, then shnehem chayovim. This is an expression that's not so clear, but it means they're both bound. They're both duty bound to compensate. Hoya echod godol vi echod koton. There are 2 animals in pursuit of 1. Hanizak omer godol hizik. The victim is claiming that it's the larger animal that caused the damage. And when we speak about a shor tam, a docile animal, before it's been categorized as mu'ad, it pays only half damages, as we've spoken about extensively in the past. It's to the advantage of the victim that the larger animal imposed the damage. Payment for damage done by a shor tam comes migufo, literally from the body of the aggressor animal. So that if the victim is anticipating receiving, maximum amount of payment. He wants, let's say, his full half damages. It's to his advantage that the source of damage is a larger animal. That's his pool of, let's say, his pool of compensation it comes from that animal. So if it's the larger, more valuable, more expensive animal, that is to the advantage of the nizak. Therefore, in such a case, you have disagreement between the victim and the aggressor. The nizak claims the godel, the larger animal, imposed the damage. V'amazik omer, the aggressor claims lo ki ela koton hizik. It's the smaller of the two animals that caused the damage. In a similar vein, echot tam v'echot muad, two animals are pursuing, and one is a tam. He would pay only half damages if it were known that he's the one that caused the damage. The other animal, though, is muad, pays full damages and the payment here is not made from the body of the aggressor, but rather from the assets of the owner. Hanizak omer muad hizik, the victim naturally is going to be claiming that the muad animal caused the damage. As we said, the nizak will be able to recover full damages that way. V'hamazik oimer lo ki elo tam hizik. The aggressor says, no, it wasn't the muad animal that caused damage. It was only the tam animal that caused the damage. Hamotzi mechaver olav araya. Once again, like we said earlier, when you have doubt concerning payment, the one who is trying to receive the payment, he's trying to motzi, take payment from the aggressor to enjoy compensation. He, the motzi, the one who is trying to extract payment from his friend, olav harai, upon him, upon the motzi, is the burden of proof. Hoyu hanizokin shnayim, echod godol v'echod koton. V'hamazikin shnayim, echod godol v'echod koton. In this scenario, there are two animals that are victim, and there are two aggressors. Hanizak omer, the victim, the owner of the injured animals, claims, Godol hizik is a godol, v'koton is a koton. The larger of the two animals caused damage to the larger of the victims. And the smaller of the aggressors is the one that caused the damage to the smaller of the victims. V'hamazik omer loki, elo koton es a godol. The smaller of the animals, of the aggressor animals, caused the damage to the larger of the victims, and v'godol es a koton. Similarly, echod tam v'echod muad, two aggressors, anizak omer muad hizik es a godol, v'tam es a koton. The victim claims that the muad damaged the larger animal, where there's larger, greater damage, and the tam is the one responsible for the injury to the smaller animal. V'amazik omer lo ki elo tam es hagodol umuad es hakoton. In all of these cases, hamotzi mechavero olav haraya. The Gemara opens up with a comment made by Reb Chiya bar Abba in his analysis of the Mishnah. Omar Rebbi Chiya bar Abba, zois oimeres. From that which our Mishnah teaches, it taught hamotzi mechavero olav haraya. In all of these cases where there was a doubt concerning payment, chalukim olav chaverov al sumchus diomar moman amuta besofek chokin. Our Mishnah represents a school of thought, a group of rabbis that disagree with Sumchus. Sumchus, the name of a prominent Tanaic figure. Sumchus held that where you have a doubt concerning Mamon Hamutal Besafek, the resolution is through splitting. Sumchus appears later in our Masechta in a case where an animal gored a pregnant cow, and there was a miscarriage, a fetus found by its side, and there is doubt whether the aggressor animal caused the miscarriage, or maybe the miscarriage happened as a result of some outside cause. So there's a doubt concerning the damage there. Sulta says the amount is split. The Gemara continues. Omar le Rabbi Abba bar Momo le Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba. Rabbi Abba asks Rabbi Chiyo, Omar sumchis afilu bori ubori? Does sumchis state his rule that Momen Hamuta b'Safek is a rule even when the claims of the two parties are stated with certainty? It might be said that in the case above, that we mentioned concerning the goring ox and a fetus found by the side, that the claims weren't necessarily made with certainty. There was simply an issue of doubt that arose. What about a case where there are claimants on both sides stating their positions with bori? Bori means certainty. Omar le, so Reb Chiyo answers, in Omar sumchus afilu bori ubori. Sumchus would say his point, even where both are advancing their claims from a position of certitude. Umimai demasnisin bebori uborihu. From where do you know that our Mishnah, and Reb Chiyo bar Abba said that our Mishnah is in opposition to Sumchus? And Reb Chiyo bar Abba is also implying that the machlokis between the Rabbon and Sumchus is even in circumstances of where there's bori ubori, the claimants are making their claims from a position of certainty. How do you know that our Mishnah is represents such a controversy between the two parties? Answer, Dikotani. Ze Omer Shorcha Hizik, Veze Omer Loki. We saw at the beginning of our Mishnah, where the victim says, your animal caused the damage. And he says that to the aggressor. And the aggressor says no. He says, low key, not so. Rather, it was the rock that caused the damage. We'll say speech like that indicates a position or a statement made from a position of certainty. And yet, in our Mishnah, we saw Hamotzi Mechaver Ovaraya, and according to Reb Chiyo bar Abba, Sumchus would disagree under circumstances like that. A question now is presented. Notice it's a long question. Maskif lo Rav Popa. Rav Popa raises a difficulty to Reb Chiyo bar Abba's presentation. Midereisha bori ubori, from the fact that the reisha is bori ubori, seifa nami bori ubori. The Mishnah would most likely be presenting a consistent set of examples, so that the continuation of the Mishnah also would be bori ubori. Eimo seifa, state the seifa. And here we have, you can see a framed section which presents a number of cases that we already saw in the Mishnah. Hoya echad gadol v'echad katan. There were two pursuing animals. Nizak omer gadol hizik, umazik omer loki ela katan hizik. The Nizak claims that it's the larger of the animals that caused the damage, and the Mazik claims, no, it's the smaller of the animals that caused the damage. Echotam ve'echot muad. Again, you have two pursuing animals. One is docile, and the other is muad, prone to damage. Nizak omer muad hizik, vamazik omer lo ki elo tam hizik. Hamotzi mechavera olav araya. The Gemara now infers, ha lo maisi raya, if, let us say that the Nizak was unable to bring proof to his claim, shakil kid'omar mazik, then the payment will be made. In other words, the Nizak will take, shakil means literally he will take in accordance what the mazik said. What did the mazik say? The mazik said the lesser of the sources of payment is responsible. In the first case, it would be the payment will be made from the smaller animal, and in the second example, payment will be made from the tam animal. Well, that having been said, Nemo teve tufto de rabo barnoson. Now that we've set up everything as we've done, we said that the Reisha was a case of Bori Ubori. Like, that was Rabbi Bar Abba's point. We said that a Mishnah is most often understood in terms of consistency. So that the continuation of the Mishnah also was a case of Bori Ubori. And we see that when you have, let's say, two divergent claims, payment will be made if in the absence of any proof made by the brought forth by the one trying to receive payment, so then payment will be made in accordance with the lesser amount as claimed by the aggressor. Well, if all of that is true, we now have a problem. Nemo tehevi tufta de rabo barnoson. Let us say that this information is then a refutation of the teaching of Rabbo Barnoson. Diomar, Rabbo Barnoson teaches, Ta'ano chitim v'hoidelo besorim potter. If you have two claimants, one saying, I entrusted by you wheat, and the other party says, no, I concede that you entrusted me by me an item, but it was barley. Barley is worth less than wheat. And what does Rabbo Barnoson say where you have a contest between two parties, one claiming wheat, the other admitting to barley? Superficially, it would be one claiming a greater amount and the other one admitting to a lesser amount. What does Rabbo Barnoson say? Potter, there is exemption, total exemption, even from the need to refund barley. Even though the one being claimed from admitted to owing barley. Just to repeat, above, we came to the conclusion, Rav Papa developed the Mishnah as concluding that in the absence of proof on the part of the motzi, of the one trying to receive payment, so payment will be made in accordance with the other party, the lesser amount. But Rabbo Barnoson says in a parallel scenario where there are two divergent claims, no payment will be made. Rashi adds that the logic behind Rabbo Barnoson is that the one making the initial claim, you owe me chitim, upon hearing the other fellow admit, I owe you sa'orim, the original claimer of chitim is saying, no, you don't owe me sa'orim, you owe me chitim. So he's, in effect, foregoing, he's moichel on the sa'orim. He doesn't intend to receive sa'orim. So he doesn't intend to receive sorim. There's no reason for the fellow who was responding to pay even sorim. Now, we don't want to have, as far as Rav Papa is concerned. We don't want to have a Mishnah being a refutation to Rabbi Bar Nosson. Rabbi Bar Nosson was a great Amora, and he knew very well, he was a thorough expert in the Mishnayos. He wouldn't have said, developed a legal point that's contradicted by a Mishnah. Ella, rather, we have to reevaluate everything that we've said till now. Rather, Bibori Veshema, the Seifa is a case where one party was arguing in a Bori fashion, and the other party was arguing his point from a position of doubt, Shema. And we saw already in our Mishnah that in the absence of any proof, so payment will be made in accordance with what the mazik is volunteering to pay. And so as not to have a Mishnah that refutes Rabbi Bar Nosson, where the two parties were both speaking from a Bori standpoint, our Mishnah is talking about a different scenario, where it's an argument between two people, Bori Veshema. However, we need to clarify, De Ka'omar Bori Man, De Ka'omar Shemo Man. Who is arguing from the Bori standpoint in our Mishnah, and who is arguing from the Shemo, from the position of doubt? Inema De Ka'omar Nizak Bori, De Ka'omar Mazik Shemo. If you're going to explain our Mishnah, where the victim is arguing from a position of certitude, and the aggressor is presenting a possible alternative, and we said in our Mishnah, in the event that the Nizak does not bring proof, the Mazik will pay in accordance with what he said. He'll pay the lesser amount or the lesser item or whatever. But you got the feeling, you get the clear point that it's the lesser amount. So if we're going to say that our Mishnah is speaking like that, where the victim is claiming a claim of certainty, and the Mazik is responding from a position of doubt. Well, if you're going to say that, Akati leimo teve tiufto de Rabbo Bar Nosson, we would still have a problem, a refutation against Rabbo Bar Nosson. Mind you, where the mazik, where the person that is being claimed from, responds with certainty, and still Rabbo Bar Nosson exempts him. All the more so, according to Rabbi Bar Nosson, where he states his position from a position of doubt, all the more so, Rabbi Bar Nosson would exempt him. And yet, if you're going to accept this presentation, that in our Mishnah, the one being claimed from is responding with Shema, and our Mishnah's conclusion is he will have to pay, so then we still have a problem from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah then represents a refutation of Rabbi Bar Nosson. We don't want that. Ela de Ka'omar Nizak Shema, de Ka'omar Mazik Bori. In order to preserve Rabbi Bar Nosson and his exemption, it must be that our Mishnah speaks of a case where the Nizak was issuing his claim from a standpoint of doubt, and the Mazik was responding with a position of certainty. That is not similar to the case that Rabbi Bar Nosson spoke of. Rabbi Bar Nosson spoke of a position where both parties were speaking from a Bori standpoint, not a case where the Nizak, or where the person making the claim was speaking from a position of doubt. So by setting up our Mishnah in that fashion, we're able to preserve Rabbo Bar Nosson as well. What about the issue of consistency of cases in our Mishnah? Umi desefa nizak shema umazik bori, resha nami nizak shema umazik bori. So the resha case as well would have to be viewed in that light, where the nizak is saying maybe your ox caused the damage, and the mazik is saying absolutely not. It was your ox definitely got hurt on the stone. Now, V'yomar Sumchus, here you have to read with a tone of wonderment, with tmiya. V'yomar Sumchus, would Sumchus say, afilu beha? Would Sumchus have held, even in this case, that the value, the money is split? The itzrich la'ashmin and delo, that we would need our Mishnah to represent a school of thought against that? Namely, we originally opened up this discussion, Rabbi Bar Abba opened up this discussion by pointing out that from our Mishnah you can see that the rabbis would disagree with Sumchus. The rabbis say, Motzi mechavero olav araya, and Sumchus would have said, Cholkin. If our Mishnah, where a Nizak is saying Shema, and he expects to bring to extract payment, well, he would certainly have to bring proof. After all, the Mazik is saying with certainty, no, you're wrong. So if the Nizak wants to get payment, so our Mishnah taught, Hamotzi mechavero olav, that Nizak would have to bring proof. Now, would you think that in that case, Sumchus would say, Chokim, that they split, that I would need our Mishnah to say otherwise, to present a school of thought to the contrary? In simple terms, Sumchus would never have said split, split the value in such a case, where the Nizik's, the one who's making the claim, is making a claim from a position of doubt. The Gemara responds, lo. Seifa, the Seifa is as we said above. Nizak Shema Umazik Bori. And by saying that, we were able to defend Rabbo Bar Nosson. Resha, the Resha case, is just the opposite. Nizak Bori Umazik Shema, where the victim is claiming with certainty and the mazik is responding from a position of doubt. Now, in a case like that, so Sumchus said, Chokim, Sumchus would say, you split the amount, and our Mishnah comes along to present a divergent opinion, the opinion of the Rabbonon, who disagree and would say, Motzi mechavero olav araya. The Nizak, even though he's claiming with certainty, the Mazik nevertheless raises a doubt. The Nizak wants to get his payment, the Nizak will have to bring proof. However, what about the issue of consistency? V'holo damyo reisha l'seifa. But at this point then, the reisha and the seifa are not the same circumstances. The Gemara answers, even though on a literal basis they're not the same, they're nevertheless similar enough to be taught in the same Mishnah and not be a violation of our idea of parallelness and consistency in Mishnah examples. Amri, Bori Ubori, Amri, Bori Vashema, Shema Ubori Chad Milsahi, where the Nizak argues Bori, Mazik responds Shema, or Nizak says, advances his claim Shema, and the Mazik responds Bori. Chad Milsi, they're one in the same, in the sense that you have two parties that are arguing with one another, that are disagreeing, one from a position of certainty and the other from a position of doubt. That's Chad Milsi. It's considered one idea, one consistent concept. Bori Ubori, Shem Ubori, however, to have the Mishnah speak in terms of one section of the Mishnah, Bori versus Bori, and the other section of the Mishnah, Shema versus Bori, that's Trei Mili Ninu. Those would be considered two different cases, and that would be contrary to our insistence on a Mishnah being consistent in its examples. The Gemara at this point makes reference to Rabba Bar Nosson that we had mentioned before in passing. Gufa, Omar Rabba Bar Nosson. Gufa is an expression meaning let's now turn to that which was stated before in passing and focus on it. So Rabba Bar Nosson had said, Tano chitin v'hoidelo besorim potter. If one advances a claim, you owe me chitim, you owe me wheat, and the other party responds, no, I owe you barley, there is exemption. My komash molon, what does Rabba Bar Nosson teach us that we don't already know from an earlier Tanaic source? Tanina, we've learned in a Mishnah. Tano chitim v'hodilo b'sorim potter. The very same case and exemption is taught explicitly in a Tanaic source. What do I need the Amora to simply repeat that which is well known? The Gemara answers, Ime hasam, hava mina, if I had just the Mishnah, I would have thought as follows. Potter midmei chitim v'chayev midmei sorim. The one being claimed from, although exempt from full payment, the payment of wheat, however, he would be expected to pay the lesser amount, the value of the barley. So that if someone was claiming, you owe me 1 pound of wheat, and the other one says, no, I owe you 1 pound of barley, the 1 pound of barley being worth less than the pound of wheat, he would be obligated to pay that lesser value. Komash molon de poter legamri. Rabba Bar Nosson tells us not to think like we just said, but rather exemption means total exemption. As we look ahead in the Gemara, you notice we have a triangle marking. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivneh structural note where a triangle is featured. These are kushyos al dinoi shel Rabba Bar Nosson. These represent challenges to Rabba Bar Nosson's rule. Tanan, hoyu hanizokin shnayim. This, by the way, you can see is a quote from our Mishnah. Use the arrow that you see to the side of the Gemara text. Tanan, hoyu hanizokin shnayim. There were two victims. Two animals were injured. Echad gadol ve'echad katan. One large, one small. The continuation of the Mishnah stated, Hamotzi mechavero olav haraya. The one who wants to extract payment, the victim wants the, we'll say, the greater collection possibility, he has to bring proof. Holo maisi raya, shoki kidomar mazik. If he's unsuccessful in bringing proof, then the Mishnah, one can infer from the Mishnah that payment will be made in accordance with the Mazik's claim, the Mazik's response. Am I? Why should any payment be made whatsoever? Chitim usorim minhu. Is it not a case of claim of one nature and an admission of another nature? And according to Rabba Bar Nosson, there would be exemption. The Gemara responds, Roy Litol. We said that if he can bring proof, he'll collect. If he can't bring proof, Let's just restate that very last point. Roy Lito means he is fit. He can collect. If proof is brought, if the Nizak brings proof, then he is allowed to collect. Roy is fit to collect. However, the Ein Lo, if no proof is brought, then there is no payment whatsoever. And what we're telling you is don't make the inference like we thought a moment before. We thought a moment before that if he brings proof, if the Nizak brings proof, he collects. And if he doesn't bring proof, so he'll receive payment like the Mazik claims. That's not true. Rather, if he brings proof, he collects. If he doesn't bring proof, no payment is made whatsoever. And that would be in line with what Rabbo Bar Nosson teaches. The Gemara asks, V'hotanya, but we have a braisa that says, Harei ze mishtalem al hakoton min hagodol, ulegodol min hakoton. The braisa says to the contrary, that in the event that no proof is brought, so then payment for the lesser victim will be made from the larger animal, and payment for the larger victim will be made from the smaller animal. That is what the Mazik was claiming. The Gemara responds, Ditofas. That Bryce is talking about a case where the Nizak grabbed payment. If the Nizak did not grab his payment, so then, like Rabbo Bar Nosson said, that where it's Tano Chita V'Hodol Besorim, where the two parties are issuing opposing claims, then no payment is made. The Braisa that indicates payment is made is because the Nizak initiated an action on his own, which we call Tofas. He grabbed payment. Tanan. Once again, another question on Rabbo Bar Nosson. You can see that this is likewise a quote from our Mishnah, using the markings to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. Tanan, hoyo echod tam ve'echod muad. The pursuant animals, the aggressor animals, one, there were two of them. One was tam, the other muad. Hanizak omer muad hizik es hagodol, v'tam es hakoton, v'amazik omer loki elo tam es hagodol, umuad es hakoton. Hamotzi mechaveru olov araya. Ha lo maisi raya. If no proof is brought, shokil kidomer mazik, we infer once again, payment would be made in accordance with the mazik's response admission of a lesser collection possibility. V'amai, why should any payment be made whatsoever? Chitim usorim ninu. Once again, it's a case of chitim and sorim. It's like we say apples and oranges. One, the claim of one nature and the response of another nature. The Gemara answers like we answered before. Roy Lital, if proof is brought, so then the Nizak can receive payment. And by the way, we're at the top of Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. So Roy Lital, if proof is brought, then the Nizak can receive payment in accordance with his claim. The Ein Lo. In the event that no proof is brought, no payment is made whatsoever. And we hence preserve Rabbo Bar Nosson. Ah, question, V'hot Tanya, do we not have a source that says, Harei ze mishtaleim lakoton min ha-muad v'lagodol min ha-tam? Payment is made like the Mazik claimed. The smaller one damaged will collect payment from the muad, and the larger one damaged will collect payment from the tam, like the Mazik claimed. The Gemara answers, just like we answered before, ditofas. That's a case where the Nizak proactively made collection on his own. And in such case, we don't take the money away. We don't take that which he collected away from him. The Tofas, I should just emphasize, in accordance with Rashi, he says, Shekirem Nizak v'Tofas Hashor. The Nizak went ahead and grabbed the animal that that had damaged in accordance with what the Mazik was claiming. But he proactively took action. Rabbo Bar Nosan was talking about a situation where where the Nizak remained inactive, and as such, the court that is brought into the picture will say, Potter the Mazik does not have to make any payment. Hoyu Shnehem Shel Ish Echad, Shnehem Chayovim. We saw in our Mishnah, you can see where this quote is coming from by simply noting the star that indicates Lamed Hey Omid Beis, and this directs you to the top line of Lamed Hey Omid Beis, where there were the two pursuant animals belonged to one man. We had seen an example of in the Mishnah where two animals were pursuing a third animal, and the third animal was damaged. It's not clear which animal did the damage, which one of the two pursuers did the damage. The Mishnah said that if they were owned by two separate people, so there's no payment. It's back to the case of Motzi Mechaver Levaraya. However, if both animals were owned by one man, so then the Mishnah said, Shnehem Chayovim. There's a pronoun over here, Shnehem, the two of them. If you're speaking about one owner, so then the two of them could be a reference only to the animals. So both animals are chayav. As we go on in the Gemara, you're going to notice a volcano shape, which is used as a means of keeping track of the give and take structure of the Gemara, where the narrow part is facing upwards. That represents a question or a kushya, a question or a difficulty is raised. The inverted shape indicates a tshuva, a response. So we have we call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of this of a discussion. So that having been said, that shnehem chayovin, both animals are chayav, and do note that this is a reference to the resha, the earlier part of the Mishnah, because in contrast, we're going to be citing the Seifa a few lines later. The Seifa meaning the latter part, the continuation of the Mishnah. Omer le Rava mi Parzika le Ravashi. Rava from the town of Parzika says to Ravashi, Shamis mina, should we conclude from the presence of the word Shnehem in the Mishnah, Shvorim tomim, Sheheziku, two docile animals that impose damage. Rotsa mize goive. Let us say that one of the animals, one of the aggressor animals got lost. Shall we say from the point made in our Mishnah, there was doubt which one imposed the damage, both being that both animals were owned by one individual, that the burden of payment falls on both animals to the extent that if one animal got lost, the other animal takes its place and payment will be made from that animal. And I think it's fair to add, even though the payment in the case of a shor tam is made mi gufo, it's made from its body, and in this case we don't really know which animal bodily caused the damage, but nevertheless in our Mishnah we seem to be saying shnehem chayovim, if they're owned by one person, both animals stand as a means of collection, both tam animals stand as a means of collection. And just to repeat, and if one got lost, the other one takes its place. And I add that that sounds a little bit, so there's a chiddush that sounds quite novel in light of the fact that a short tam pays migufo, pays from its own body. The Gemara responds, hocha b'mayaskinon b'mu'adin. In other words, don't conclude like Rava was suggesting. I'm not sure that Rava was suggesting it in seriousness, or he was rather presenting it as a conclusion that would be problematic. The Gemara nevertheless says that our Mishnah is not talking about a case of Tamim, so we don't have to get involved with this issue of Ratzah Mizeh Goyveh, Ratzah Mizeh Goyveh. We're talking about Mu'adim. And Mu'adim are two animals that are prone to impose damage, and we know that damage payment for Mu'ad animals is made from the owner's assets. So it becomes irrelevant which animal is the one that actually did the damage. Gemara asks, "E b'mu'adin, eimo seifa." If we're talking about mu'adim, well, then just continue reading the seifa. Notice we have a long question here. Hoya echad gadol ve'echad katan. One animal. One of the pursuant animals. There were two pursuant animals. Again, this is you can see this is a quote from our Mishnah. You can always use the markings on the side of the Gemara text to see where this is coming from. We say there are two pursuant animals. One was large, the other was small. Hanizak Omer Godol Hizik Vamazik Omer Loki Ela Koton Hizik. The Mazik responds and says, no, it was the smaller animal that caused the damage. Hamotzi mechavero avaraya. The Nizak has to bring proof. Well, ibn Mu'adin, if the animals in the Mishnah, the two pursuant animals were Mu'ad, my nafka lay mine. Sof sof deme tura ma'alya bo'i lishlumi. What difference does it make that we would insist on the Nizak bringing proof? If we're talking about Mu'adim, payment must be made from the assets of the aggressor. And it's clear, as far as our mission is concerned, it's clear to us what the value of the damage is. The only thing that was lacking clarity was which animal caused the damage. But that becomes an irrelevant point if you're talking about Mu'adim. Who cares which animal caused the damage? When it comes to Mu'adim, the source of collection is not from the animals themselves that it should make a difference which animal caused the damage. The source of collection is from the aggressor's assets. Omar Lay, so he responds, Seifa b'tamin, v'resha b'mu'adim. The Seifa, where it made a difference, which one caused the damage, that's because the Seifa was talking about tamin. The Resha, which mentions Shnehem Chayovim, that the source of collection is upon both, and as we explained, that would mean that if one was lost, so payment will be from the other. That's because we were dealing with Mu'adim, and the identity of which animal caused the damage becomes irrelevant. The Gemara asks, though, in terms of language, Omer le Rav Acho Savo le Rav Ashi. Ibn Mu'adim. If you want to maintain this esber, that the Reisha is talking about Mu'adim. Chayavim. Chayav Gavra mi Boyale. The language of the Mishnah, Chayavim, is inaccurate. Chayavim is a they in the plural. If it's Mu'adim, it's the owner, the aggressor, in the singular, he, the aggressor's assets, are the source of payment. Vasu, my shnehem. What is the relevance of the word shnehem? If you're talking about a case of mu'adim, where the source of payment has nothing to do with the animals, it's from the owner's assets. Ela li'olam b'tamin. Just like the seifa can be explained only by saying that the animal, the aggressors were tamen. The reisha as well is talking about tamen. By the way, note that this is a long answer to the end of the perek. We're talking about tamen. V'Rabbi Akiva hi, diyomar shutfin ninu. The Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Akiva, who has said, we've seen this several times in the past, Rabbi Akiva points out that the relationship between the mazik and the nizak, the aggressor and the victim, are, as a result of the damage, the nizak becomes a partner. He has a holding, a partial holding on the aggressor animal. V'taimo de'isnu l'travayu. Payment, and now we're going to be explaining the Mishnah in a different fashion than we've been explaining till now. In the case of the Reisha, where the two animals belonged to one person, then payment will be made. V'taima, why will payment be made if the two animals belong to one person? De'isnu l'travayu. Because both animals are there. And one of them definitely caused the damage. Delo motzi madchile, the owner of the aggressor animal, can't push off, cannot deflect the victim. The victim is saying, look, one of your animals, and they're both here, one of them caused me damage, so I want compensation. Avoles l'travayu, if the two animals are not there, just one remains. As we mentioned earlier, that if the one got lost, here we're going to now say, contrary to what we suggested before, if they're not both there, only one is there, motzi omale, the mazik, the one being claimed from, can say to the claimer, zilai sirayo dahai turo, you bring proof that this one animal that remains is the one that caused you damage, and then I'll pay you. We look at Rashi together. Rabbi Akiva hi, Rashi that we're looking at is, you can see, pretty much across from where we are. Rabbi Akiva hi, diomar shutfininu, beguf shoshor. The victim is a partner in the body of the aggressor animal. Hilkoch ovad hashor, Avad Nisko, if the aggressor animal gets lost, so his ability to receive compensation is lost. Hilkoch ki havu shneim hu demechayev. When both aggressor animals are present, then we can speak in terms of the owner being obligated to pay. Vileslu chavayo elo echad, if both are not there, there's only one of the aggressor animals that remains, and as we said, they're both tam. Omerle, the mazik, can say, I see Raya, you bring proof that this animal that remains is the one that caused damage to your animal. Now, Rashi points out something that we didn't refer to before, but in light of what the Gemara said, that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, that is stated to the exclusion of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael had a different approach to the relationship of the Nizak to the mazik. Aval Rabbi Yishmael, Kevan Diomar Baal Chovhu, Rabbi Yishmael said that the victim becomes like a creditor toward the mazik, the Zuzihu de Asik Bey, and he has a financial claim against the aggressor. Avar Echod Lo Ibeid Ezchuso, if one of the two animals got lost, that's not reason for the victim to lose his claim for financial reparation. I should just point out that what we just said is Rashi's approach. Tosfos in Dibur Masechta Rabbi Akiva has an alternative commentary to this last point. But for our purposes, taking Rashi's approach, you can see where Rabbi Yishmael would disagree with Rabbi Akiva regarding the situation where only one of the two aggressor animals remained. As you can see, we, with the help of the one above, have completed the third perek of Bava Kamma, Mirtzei Hashem. In our next shir, with the help of the one above, we should be able to continue with the fourth perek. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.